Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and tonight, our guest is Dave Fenoy. Dave, say hi.
Well, hi, everybody. How you doing?
All right. We got lots of cool stuff to cover tonight with Dave, and if you've got questions for Dave Fenoy, because this guy knows everything.
yeah, how am I going to
You can tell by the gray beard, can't you?
That's right. Yeah, yes, looking very sagely there.
Gray means wisdom.
That's right. Well, then I'm feeling particularly wise. If any of you have a question for him, though, throw it in the Facebook chat room, and we will get that question to him a little bit later on. But we got lots to ask him. And, George, anything to add?
Nope. Just want to be pretty.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Three pretty guys ready for VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
From the outer reaches, they came. Bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products. Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive. From their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, good evening or good afternoon, depending on where you are. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop
or VO
BS.
All right. Yes, we're here. All right, apparently every time I slap, everybody's got to take a drink. I'm not exactly sure what started.
I don't know who started that one.
Yeah, but, you know, in that case, I'm putting my hands in my pockets, and I'm just going to stay like this the entire night and in the squeaky chair. There we go. Anyway, we've got lots to talk about tonight. Hopefully you're all doing well during this continued stay-at-home situation. And because of that, we got to talk to our guest at his home. But he's got a wonderful home because we've been there. And
that's right.
Let's bring him in right now. A guy that has done everything in voiceover, is big in gaming, and has one of the nicest voices. It's like a cup of coffee, a hot cup of coffee. Dave Fenoy. Dave, welcome back to VoiceOver Body.
Well, I hope everybody likes a nice cup of hot coffee.
Who doesn't?
Oh, there's some people out there.
Yeah, I'm a tea person myself. Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, I like them both. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. You know,
fantastic. You know, it's been a while since I got to hang out with you guys, and when I did, we were in your studio.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a different world now.
It is. I'm all alone in here. It's kind of weird.
And yet here we are together.
And it's amazing. It's really
this is what
cool.
We get. Yeah. Luckily, by the time you've come on the show, we've worked out all the technical hurdles to make this look like we know what we're doing. Yeah. It was not easy for the first couple of months.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Had to release a bunch of valves and get these things running. Anyway. So anyway, Dave, first, before we really get into some of the other stuff that we can talk about, can we talk a little bit about where you're from originally and how you got into voiceover?
Well, contrary to my wiki page, Wikipedia page. It was wrong. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, that's right.
And as when I was a kid, we called it the armpit of the nation.
I thought that was Toledo, actually. But
there's two armpits.
Right. And I'm from Buffalo. I was the other armpit of Lake Erie.
The third armpit.
It was, it was like that Hindu god with the multi arms.
All right.
Born and raised in Cleveland. I left when I was 18 to go to college in Minnesota. Went to school for a while, a couple of years, dropped out, went on the road as a musician for a few years, and went back to school at Howard University. Got out as a musician, played music for a while. Then I realized I wasn't going to grow up to be a rock and roll star after all. And I went into radio. And I was one of those jocks in San Francisco Bay Area. Last gig being Morning Jock at 107.7 KSOL. I'm Billy David Ocean, and we're getting it on with you. But I discovered voiceover work while I was on the radio. And it seemed over the years, that's where I need to go. That's what I needed to go. This is going to be much more fun than just radio, which was fun. But, there's cartoons, and there's TV promos, and there's commercial, and there's narration. And at that time, there were no video games, not for voice actors anyway. But now there's video games, too.
Yeah, we can talk about that. So and here you are in L.A. and one of the most respected people in the business. How have you been faring during all of this nutso stay-at-home stuff?
I almost feel a little guilty, but I haven't really missed a beat. I had a lot of clients that I was working from home with anyway. I've had a home studio for 20-something years. So I didn't have to gear up to do anything. It's the way it's been for me for a long time. There are AAA games and commercials that have wanted you to come into their professional studios that couldn't. And I've seen a lot of, tell us about your studio. We want to know what microphone you use. What's your booth? What's your DAW? What's your interface? Can you send us a sample? So forth and so on. There's been a lot of that lately, and I know a lot of people who may have rushed into home studios probably are a little bit over their heads. That thing of you could do it. It's actually not that hard, but when so much information's coming at you, sometimes you're just a little bit, what do I do? Push this button here. Oh, no.
Yeah, George and I are real familiar with that the last two and a half, 3 months.
Who do I listen to it for advice, too? That's another problem, because there's an avalanche of free advice coming at everybody right now.
And not good. I've seen a lot of it. But I've also discovered that just because the advice isn't always the same doesn't mean that it's bad advice. There are more roads to Rome than one.
Of course. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So if you've had a studio for 20 years, and then we've got all of these people who've been getting these edicts from the studio, like you said, they were asking you, well, what kind of a microphone? Does it really matter? Is really the point, because we're always of the mind of, it's what the studio sounds like. If it sounds good, it is good. And
well, I think the microphone is way down the chain.
Yeah.
What's the room you're recording in? That's probably the most important thing of all. You can have the best mic in the world, the best recording software. They're all the same. The best interface. But if the room sucks and you've got sound bouncing around, or it's too flat or too live, none of the rest of that's going to help.
Yeah. Well, We know that.
I know you guys know, hopefully there's an audience out there.
We definitely have an audience, but we like hearing it from you because it just reinforces what we've been teaching all these years that, you know, one, acoustics is number one.
Yeah. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways to get a decent sounding room, without spending a fortune. I always tell newbies or people who are new trying to set up a home studio, well, a closet with clothes in it, you know, you got clothes, you got a closet, it might not work out so bad for you.
Yeah. Bigger the wardrobe, the better it is.
That's right.
We've
got a lot of fluffy, furry, soft stuff hanging in there.
Yeah. And the more, the better. And I know a lot of people making good money next to their underwear. So and in their underwear, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more fun to make it next to your underwear than wearing your underwear.
Can I put something to rest here? I've never worked in my pajamas. Underneath my clothes, I do have underwear. But I've never worked in pajamas or underwear alone.
Wow.
Is it because just when you go into your booth, you like to feel like you're going to work?
Well, you know what? Just partially. I get up, you know, do what I needed to walk the dogs, do a little exercise, and get dressed. Actually, I'm dressed when I'm walking the dogs. But then I go in, I treat every day as a work day, even though I'm just going downstairs to my studio. I mean, I start late. If I have to be in there by 9, I'm in there by 9. Usually it's 10. And I have no problem working late. You know, I might be in studio until 8 or 9, but I get to take breaks in the middle of the day. You know, you've had a couple of students or a couple of gigs and, oh, I need a break. I'm going to go upstairs and chill out for a little bit and turn on the news. And, oh, God, now I'm depressed. And come back and do some work.
Yeah. So what have you been able to continue to do? Is there anything that you found that there's more of because of the situation? What is there less of? And what really has changed in, over that period?
Well, there was in terms of work, it's about the same. In terms of work that I'm doing, the ratio of work I'm doing at home to work I'm doing outside has changed, of course, because the studios closed down and you couldn't do anything. And at first they were postponing gigs, especially video game gigs, commercial gigs that they were wanted to have you in another studio. And after a while, they went, wait a minute, this is going on longer than we thought. Let's find out how good that studio is. And so now I'm doing video games and commercials from here. I always was doing narration and some smaller games and some smaller commercials. But the big boys, the AAAs, always wanted you in their studio so that we could have complete and total control over the sound. But that has gone by the wayside now. However, I have my first out of my studio gig since the quarantine on Wednesday.
Ah, all right. So they're starting to open up.
Which studio is it, Dave? Can you say which studio it is? Or you don't have to.
I don't know that they want that advertised, and rather them tell you than me tell you.
Sure.
But what they have said is there will only be one other person in the building, which will be the engineer, and all the other people will be, from someplace else on the planet.
Yeah.
Maybe across town, maybe across the country.
Yeah. I found it fascinating because I was hearing from several people that, especially from the video game world, that they were actually delivering equipment to people. Like, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you have to have the same mic as this person. Yeah, but if this person's doing it from their bathroom, it really isn't going to help.
You know, I think people were panicking, and I don't think that was the engineers. The guys, the recordists, the guys that you're working with in those studios are pros. They know that, it's not just the equipment, it's the environment. And they can't just send you a room.
Right.
But, I heard microphones, 737s, various other equipment being sent to people so that they could duplicate the exact sound of this, that, or the other. I had a lot of recording where they wanted to record at 96. Yeah.
96 kilohertz sample rate?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yes.
Watch steam.
Because your voice has twice as high frequencies in it than mine.
Yeah, whatever. And I didn't know this, but several of the bigger games I've been working on, that's the way they've been recording in 96, which if you don't have to have an online component to it as well, isn't a problem for that studio. But if you're trying to do a Zoom session, and so you've got that signal going and you're trying to record 96, your computer and Zoom go, I don't know what to do. And, you know, stuff would click in and click out. And, oh, we got to reconnect. But we finally got it done. Yeah.
Well, we know it sounds better than the 8-bit games back from the late
80s. TI-99-4A.
There was a point in teaching some voiceover for video games. I wanted to go back and do comparison of what some of the first voiceovers in video games were like. I could not believe how bad some of this stuff was. And not just bad because, you know, oh, we need a girl on this one. Tell a secretary to take lunch and come in here. You know, oh, yeah. Oh, we need an old guy. Is your dad retired? Can we? They were doing that kind of thing. But sometimes they would record and then record something else. And you'd hear two things, one of which wasn't supposed to be there. Oh. Just amazingly bad stuff. Well, as the video game industry has grown up and the people who play video games have grown up, and the technology has gotten better, man, it's just amazing what they can do now. And I really believe it. They have to insist on good voice actors to pull it all off, because when the graphics are so good, when the pictures are so good, when the sound is so good, you can't have bad acting.
Oh, I would hope not. How have video games changed your professional life? Because I mean, you still do all the narration and stuff, but did that like give you a whole breath of fresh air of stuff to do?
Well, it did give me a whole breath of fresh air of stuff to do, and gave me fans. You know, when I got in the business, I wanted to work, make a decent living. When I first came to town, the thing that my agents were pushing me for most was TV promos, and I did a lot of them. I was a Disney Channel voice. I was a voice for CBS and ABC, the WB and SoapNet, a bunch of different things. And I still do promo work. I'm just not under contract to anybody. So if you're out there listening, I'm available. Hulu for me was a big thing for a number of years. But that was the direction they were sending me. And I did a few cartoons as well. Did Captain Planet and Pro Stars. Gosh, getting old, gray hair, can't talk anymore, can't remember. But I did a number of cartoons, and somehow in the late 90s, early 2000s, a video game thing started. And I did a number of games for Lucasfilm. I got to play Lando Calrissian in one of their games. I played a pod racer, and I had to do the whole thing in Huttese, the language of Jabba the Hutt. One of the toughest jobs ever. It was a five-hour session, shouting the whole thing in Huttese, playing three different characters. At the end of it, I'd lost my voice. Mm. And I was done for a week, and I was supposed to do an ESPN sports show. Is it going to be the, and it's ESPN sports with so-and-so, you know, welcome to, and couldn't do it. Had to bail out with a couple days' notice. That producer has never hired me again.
Well, that was, I mean, that was really the controversy in the video game business, you know, well, amongst voice actors, is that it was very wearing on people's voices. Has that changed since the strike?
The wearing on your voice has not changed. What has changed is the directors and producers actually are kind of on your side to help you protect your voice. They still want the screaming. If you are coming into a session and it says battle chatter at the top, be afraid, be very afraid. But they give you more breaks. They're going to spend less time on that. Nowadays you have a lot of games that it's not just one session. You're going to be doing a number of sessions over the course of days or weeks, or even years on some games. And they try to break up that very hard, damaging work to, you know, like Fridays or just a couple hours on this day, as opposed to a 4-hour session of doing that. So you've got people on your side trying to help you with your voice, but it can still be rough.
Yeah, well, yelling will do that. And because it's a lot of, not, it's like you were saying, you're doing it in a different language, or it's a lot of grunting and all that, you know.
Oh yeah.
My understanding is you can't really kind of audiobook yell, or, you know, fake yell. They're really looking for authenticity.
They're looking for the real thing. They want authenticity. As a matter of fact, I think you do more damage if you're trying to constrict it down and make it, you know, pretend yell. I think you're holding back so much, you're actually pushing more air through there the wrong way. I think you do better just actually go ahead and give it the shout. But one of the things they do, where they might have you doing 2 or 3 takes, you know, for regular dialogue, when you're doing the efforts and the shouting things, well, let's just break it down to just one take. If we need another one, we'll ask for it, but let's just do one take on that. So they're trying to look out for you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. If you're just joining us, you've missed a whole lot already. We're talking with our good buddy Dave Fennoy, who is a very prominent voice actor here in Hollywood. You hear him on games, you hear him on promos, you hear him on all sorts of stuff. And right now you're hearing him on Voice Over Body Shop. And if you have a question for him, we'd love to hear from you. And just go into our Facebook chat room and type in the question, unless you have like dictation software. and we will get to that in our next segment. But it's fascinating hearing about the gaming stuff. Do you play the games yourself?
Actually, I am not a gamer.
Don't tell them that.
No, you got to tell the truth. I do have a PS4 that I bought at Christmas time. I should have held out for the PS5. And I would have played just as many games on it as I've played on the PS4, which is one, and haven't played it again since. I just don't have time. And I think probably part of the reason I'm not a gamer is I suck at it.
practice, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Put in your calendar, just like anything else. Yeah. 2 hours a day.
There you go. Because I could have a professional career as a professional gamer, and right. Which they have now.
And they make more money.
I know.
They are professional gamers. I was once a celebrity host at the World Series of Video Games, which they decided to hold in the Maldives.
Okay.
And this was a very high-tech event. They had 20 young men from all across the world that were going to come and play 4 different video games. It was going to be streamed across the planet, and it was. But it was started a couple days late because for some reason in the middle of the Indian Ocean, the Maldives there was not the hub of technology and equipment for technology. So if you
didn't have a big pipe over there.
Oh man, it was a mess. So they got started a couple of days late. And part of the funniest thing was it was all fellas. And now we have a lot of professional women video game players as well. And 50% of game players are women. But this was before the big switch. And so these were all young men between 17 and 25 or 6 was the oldest. And of course, we're on this beautiful island, the water lapping the white sand and just so romantic, and all these guys with the testosterone just pouring out of their ears, and all the women there were with somebody.
Oh, brutal.
These poor guys.
Oh, man.
And who says voiceover isn't fun? Yeah, you know, it is. Once again, we're talking with Dave Fennoy. You got a question? Ask it now in the chat room so we can get to that in a second.
We're getting a bunch too, by the way.
I'm glad to see that.
Yeah.
I'm interested, you know, in your thoughts, because, you know, people really respect what you have to say about these things. But with all the stuff that's been going on, I mean, because people have been forced to work at home, do you see the industry changing permanently, you know, for the better or for worse? Because
I don't see anything changing permanently. There's one thing I've learned doing this for 30 years is, you know, sooner or later, whatever you're doing now, there's going to be a different way of doing it.
Right.
But I do think that more and more people who might not have wanted to have a great home studio are going to be willing to invest more money in their home studios. I think there are going to be some clients who once only would hire professional studios and have you go there are going to be more open to working with talent from their home studios. I don't think the industry actually had a really good idea of how many people had really good home studios. And it falls into two categories. Those who have had them the longest, I think, were people who had careers doing TV promos. I think the TV promo folks were the first ones to say, oh, okay, we can, you know, they don't have to be in here. We've got an ISDN box. They got their 416 and a nice booth. Even though they can't see it, they can take the audio cues, or better yet, we just know how long their little sections are, and they can do it from home, send it to us, saves us time and money, and we can actually get more out of them. It's a plus for us because we wouldn't have to drive from this studio to this studio to this studio. So that was a big change, and I think we're going to continue in that vein. But looking at voiceover from the time I got in the 90s, when, you know, you went to your agents, you went to a studio, you went to your agents to audition. Well, now you audition at home. Now you work more often than not from home. The opportunities for work, I think, are greater than they ever have been before. You have more people knocking on the door and in the business than ever before. And just taking a look at YouTube, the number of explainer videos and corporations that are availing themselves of voice actors to do corporate narration for them, you know, from even live announce at their corporate events. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of our corporation, he's a wonderful guy, makes lots more money than you do, Mr. Joe Johnson or whatever.
Right.
The safety videos that they have, or the training videos that they're going to have. Companies that have products that the instructions, well, they got this little written out thing, but now they've hired somebody to do a video so you can go online and watch, oh, this is how I put this IKEA furniture together. Oh, great. So there are lots of jobs like that. I break it up. I call it the high profile and not so high profile work.
Right.
And, you know, one's not better than the other. One just gets more attention, but, you know, that green money still spins no matter where it came from. So lots of opportunities there, but also the driving down of the cost, the driving down of our remuneration, what we get paid from Fiverr, which they weren't the first, but the pay-to-play sites have driven down the cost.
And they've driven up their own cost, though, because they become more expensive, which I find fascinating.
Well, I think they're this close to being criminals myself. And I know a lot of people are having wonderful careers with them, but I think even more people are just pouring money into them. You know, we've had a lot of jokes over the years about agents. But your agent ain't making no money unless you make some money. You're not paying your agent every month or every year to be on their roster. And they have a vested interest in trying to, A, get you booked, and B, get you more money. Whereas the pay-to-play sites, they're not working for you. They're working for the person that's going to hire you, and they're trying to get your services for the very least that they can. So we become a commodity to be bought cheaply. And some of them, I know Voices.com instituted that, well, one, you're going to pay 20% for us to handle your money. And you may never know how much this client actually was going to offer.
Right.
So
maybe it's in the first place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe the budget's $10,000 and you're going to do, you know, 10 commercials or 5 commercials or something. And, but they ask you to bid on it and you bid $750 and you get it. and then you pay 20% of that $750 to them. And the rest of the money, $9,250, they pocket.
Right.
It's not illegal. But it's certainly unconscionable.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, which is why I dropped off of them like 6 years ago. That's not going to happen. Anyway.
But they're there, and I don't think they're going to go away yet.
Yeah, there seem to be a plethora of them all of a sudden, but a lot of them have fallen to the wayside.
They won't go away because they provide a service that's convenient, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
For like little business people online or around the world, there.
Hold on a second.
Convenient.
You want to take that?
All right. Who's calling during my show here?
Let's find out.
I'm sorry. I'll call back.
Okay. Well, see, that's the rule on VoiceOver Body Shop. If you forget to turn your phone off, which I now have. Then
the caller goes on the air.
You have to answer the call. It was usually
who made the rule?
I did.
Dan.
I'm the producer. It's my studio. I make the rule. But it hasn't happened in a long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
It's really. Anyway, we're talking with Dave Fenoy. And again, if you've got a question, throw it in the Facebook chat room. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But right now, we have to hear from our fantastic sponsors, and I know the first spot leads off with a familiar voice, so we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with Dave Fenoy. Don't go away.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's tech wisdom.
What question do we get most often? Far and away, it's how do I even get started in VoiceOver? And we have a great answer to that question. Take the voheroes.com free Getting Started in VO course. You heard right. It's free, And it's available online 24/7 at gettingstartedinvo.com. That's gettingstartedinvo.com. If you've been watching VOBS and thinking that you need to get in gear and start your own voiceover career, this is the course you should start with. You'll learn about the vocal skills you need, the storytelling skills you need, the equipment you need, the business skills you need, and the mindset you need to have, all in one single comprehensive online course taught by VO Heroes David H. Lawrence the 17th. This course won the Backstage Reader's Choice Award 4 years in a row. And again, there's no charge. It's absolutely free. Want to take it? Of course you do. GettingStartedInVO.com. That's GettingStartedInVO.com. And now a word from Harlan Hogan and VoiceOverEssentials.com. Has this ever happened to you? Embarrassing. The washers on these booms? They're not so great at holding up your expensive microphone. And here's the answer. The adjustable boom stop is great. Easy to attach and works like a charm. No more droopy mic. It's simple, ingenious, and infinitely adjustable. The padded non-slip pouch fits almost any size boom arm. Unique double-loop webbing system for unlimited angle of the down strap. Works with tripod and solid round bases. Light gray webbing lets you mark and repeat stand settings for each performer. It's 3 ounces of protection for your expensive microphone with free standard shipping in the continental U.S. Hold up your mic with the ABS adjustable boom stop.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
Hey.
Are we back?
We are back.
I
promise.
Like you were saying, we're going to have to relearn all this stuff. I mean, one of the monitors isn't working, so I'm sort of flying blind here.
Well, you know what? Get used to this. This is going to be our lives from now on. As technology changes so quickly, the things that we're working on that, we got this as new technology. A year later, 2 years later, it's obsolete. There's a whole new way of doing things. So I think we're going to be a population of human beings that's constantly relearning.
Yep. Well, as long as you're learning, you're still alive, which is good.
Yeah, there you go.
I wanted to ask you about you do a weekly thing on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, Wednesdays at 6 p.m.
Ask Dave anything.
Well, ask Dave Fanoy anything. You can't just ask any Dave. Right. There are a lot of Daves you could ask.
Yeah.
But this is specifically ask Dave Fanoy anything.
Okay, all right.
And, I just wanted to do something to kind of give back, something to share. One of the things I like about the voiceover industry is the people in it, and people like yourselves who are not only making a living, but what you're doing now is you're giving of yourselves. So this was my way, as many others have done. I couldn't come up with a really cool, neat title. So since it was going to be You Could Ask Me Stuff, I said, well, I'll call it Ask Dave Fanoy Anything, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific on Facebook Live. It's a lot of fun, even for me. Sometimes as the weeks go by, certain questions are always, you always get the mic questions. You always get the booth questions. You always get the how do I get started in a career questions. But there's always something new and unique. The last one I didn't do one this last Wednesday, nor will I be able to do it this Wednesday because of work. That's first double miss in a while. But the one just before that, we were talking about what was going on in the world. We were talking about the protests, because it just felt like talking voiceover at that particular moment in time.
Yeah. I think people need. I think there was a need for some catharsis with a lot of people at that time. So that was.
And we may have some. I had a student today that we got 45 minutes in, and she wanted to talk about Black Lives Matter and things political. And I said, now you realize you're paying me for this time. Why don't we? She says, no, I just want to talk about this right now. Yeah. And I think a lot of people have something to get out. have thoughts they want to share. I have gotten more calls from more of my white friends who may have called me just to say hi or what's up, or can I get you on this project or blah, but just, hey man, how you doing? So what do you think about this? So I kind of think worldwide, when we look at these Black Lives Matter demonstrations and protests, it's all over the world.
Yep.
All over the world. And I'm hoping that there are enough. And when you look at the crowd, it's everybody. That we're going to hit a tipping point towards justice. And then, of course, we'll need to show up at the polls and vote justice.
I think one of the more important things is, yeah, you can go out there and yell and scream, but if you don't go vote, then you're not helping out here.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I hear people say, well, this protesting doesn't do anything, but it always has, actually.
Absolutely.
It always has.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
you're back to voiceover.
Yeah, you're ready to take some questions from our vast voiceover audience?
Well, let's take some questions, shall we?
All right.
We got a lot, so we'll keep it moving.
Yeah.
Because there's at least 10 of them here. Quickie from Randy Thomas. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Randy.
Did you know my friend Billy Bass in Cleveland? He was a jock then.
I did not know Billy Bass. I left Cleveland in 1970, my parents moved, and I haven't been back.
Yeah. History, ancient history.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Joe Mambu says, hey, how do you go about finding a voiceover coach, especially in these self-quarantine times? Now, Randy, she chimed in because she's in the chat, and she said, ask people who have what you consider great demos and ask who coached them. And then let's see what Dave says.
Well, you know, I think there are more than one way to skin a cat. I think that's a pretty good way. People who have good demos. I would start paying attention to voiceover over social media and who people are talking about. Who are people taking voiceover lessons from? The names that keep coming up over and over are probably the people that you want to talk to. There are a lot of people out there have no business teaching. And, you know, usually these are the people that they're not going to have a long track record. You won't, if you Google them, you're not going to find that much. But Randy herself, you Google Randy, you're going to find a lot about her, not only her teaching, but her work. And the same thing of so many good voiceover teachers here. And I always suggest people, look, you should work with more than just one person. I do teach promo. I do teach narration. I do teach commercial work, but I have a really special niche in video games. And I don't have any problem sending people to somebody who's really specializing in TV promos, really specializing in narration, really specializing in commercial. So if you know a good coach, one of the things you might do, I refer people to other coaches all the time. Yeah, talk to a good coach, because that good coach, A, they've got enough business. You know, I'm not trying to stack up my business. I'm trying to help people. And if I'm not the one, I can send you to the one.
That's always helpful. If you know somebody's going to work well with somebody else who has a particular niche, then that's always very helpful.
For whatever reason, maybe, right. Okay, this is a woman. Let me let her talk to this woman over here who, you know, has been through the ringer that women have to go through and is doing a similar thing, the kind of thing that this woman wants to do.
Well, Randy has a question also about video game voice, how you keep healthy or how can you be healthy? Really, she's saying is if someone is a healthy voice or has a healthy voice practice, how many video games can an actor actually manage to do in a year?
Well, you know, I don't know how many games do I do in a year? I'm on almost 500 games now. A couple of things here. First of all, it's not a myth that video games can be tough on your voice, but it's also true that not all the games have a lot of shouting and screaming in them. So to look back at the game I'm best known for, the Walking Dead game, there was very little in the way of screaming like you might find in Gears of War that I'm also in, where you have days where, okay, we got 2 hours of shouting here. And there's so many games now that there may be some shouting, there may be some efforts, but they're limited. So not all games are going to be as tough on your throat as some others. But the thing to do, stay hydrated. If you're in a really tough session, take your breaks. You know, usually they're going to give you a break every hour, but if you've gone, you know, 40 minutes and you've been, you know, burning that voice, take some time. Get some hot water, tea, and honey. Give yourself 10 minutes before you go back. The voice does heal quickly, more quickly than, say, your outer skin. But if, say, you had a tough session on a Friday, shut up Friday night. Give yourself some rest Saturday morning.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see here. Lad Wendelin. I'll bet you I got that right. He says, two questions. I've made a commercial, promo, narration, reels, and feel confident I have something to offer. What's the next step in furthering my career? Seek agents or go after clients?
Why not both?
Absolutely.
You know, depending on where you are and what your status is with the union, agents are going to be more or less interested, but you're going to have to keep knocking on those doors because most agents are not at the point of looking for new talent. They're looking for a reason not to take you on because they've got so much talent and everybody's trying to get at them. Does that mean they're not going to take people? No. You know, if you've got the goods, somebody's going to be interested in helping you out because it will help them out. But in this do-it-yourself world that we're living in now, unfortunately, we live in the same world of everybody else where unions are not as strong as they were 20, 30 years ago. And there's been a war on the American worker for a long time. How can we get you to do more for less money? And that includes us. So, you might have to turn to the pay-to-play sites a little bit. You might have to turn to marketing yourself, doing the research on a LinkedIn or Chambers of Commerce to find out the kinds of businesses that you want to work for, how to get in touch with them, and then market yourself to them. Of course, now, once you do that, your website has to be ready to receive that business so they can hear your demos and get in touch with you. And I would recommend that if you're setting that up, set up yourself a rate sheet so you don't have to have those uncomfortable conversations. Well, I'm not sure how, I was thinking maybe, no, my rate sheet is this. You can base it off of union rates, and there's some other places, some other voiceover groups that you can base those rates off of so that you show up as a professional, that you are offering a service to people who are looking for your service and never, ever ask for work. Offer your services. Don't ask for work.
All righty. Got a question here from Dominic Carlos. What motivation techniques have you used when work doesn't come in as frequently as it did before?
Well, you know, we all go through that. If you set yourself up as a business, that this is what you do, you're really looking at working every day at this. So when you've got a lot of auditions coming in and you've got a lot of work, that's what you're doing. When you don't have a lot of auditions coming in and a lot of work, market yourself. That's when you spend your time instead of auditioning because there aren't any, or work because it's not coming in, marketing yourself. You got clients that you've worked for a lot and haven't heard from in a while. send them a note. Let them know you're there. You haven't got an agent. You've been working on your own. Now's a good time to send out your demo to agents and follow up. A lot of people want to send something one time and expect a yay or a nay. Chances are, as a salesman will tell you, it's five touches before something good happens. So if you have sent your goods to an agent and maybe they sent you back a note, thanks, but no thanks. We have somebody like you on our roster already. If they got back in touch at all, count that as a win. You get something new, let them know what you're doing. Come circle back, as they say, and keep staying in touch.
All righty, George.
Next one I'm seeing here that let's jump to how do you deal? This is also from Lad. He asked one earlier, but this one's about sibilance. How do you control sibilant S's for people that have maybe a little bit sibilant of a gap? S's? Yeah, a gap in their front teeth. Have you helped somebody coach the sibilance out of their voice before?
Actually, I've never helped anybody coach the sibilance out of their voice. One, stay hydrated so that, you know, you're cutting down on mouth noises anyway. One of the things you can do is work your mic off access, and that will help you cut down on some of the sibilance.
As you get to the side a little bit more, it gets less and less bright.
Less and less bright. And there are some electronic ways. There's de-essers and whatnot. They tend to do a little more than just get rid of the S's. But I would practice how you pronounce things. I would spend some time practicing how you pronounce those words that have those S's in them so that you kind of work your way out of what your mouth and tongue is doing to create them.
Yeah. I find that if people are over projecting, which, you know, I listen to a lot of stuff from people, they're pushing it too much. They're not keeping that intimate conversation that, you know, commercial voiceover really is. And when they talk louder, they tend to hit the T's and the S's a little bit harder. And that tends to cause more sibilance. Cause I don't particularly believe that anybody's more sibilant than anybody else, but
no, I don't either. But and which is why I say one of the things you want to do might be to okay, what am I doing when I'm sibilant? Oh, I'm doing that. Well, let me learn how to not do that.
Yeah. All right. Got one more question here from Betsy Zachko. That's what it is. She says,
Now you know how the Olympic sport announcers feel when all those names
come up. Really?
Yeah, I mean, but they practice them. It's like, you know, and here comes...
Yeah, they do.
It helps. I'm an actor and came into voiceover via radio. Welcome to the club. I recently have gotten more game auditions and am not a gamer. So every time I get an audition for a game, I end up going to Twitch or YouTube. And even after listening to examples, I wonder if I'm missing a key element. What adjustments do you need? Do you make for acting in games?
Well, acting in video games is probably closer to being on stage or on film than any other area of voiceover work, except for the very high-end commercials where they're hiring high-end actors to do them. A lot of times I came out of radio. And often when we've come out of radio, we have gotten used to reading scripts that we're really not connected to, but doing a dance with the words to make it sound like we know what we're talking about and that we care about this. Right. And if you just stop by, you can get 50% off now. That's right, 50. We're doing a little bit of that thing. Now, if you've got that and you do that, great. It'll serve you for the things that require that. But when you're playing a character, stop worrying about your enunciation. Stop worrying about, oh, the sentence starts here and ends there, and I need to go from there to there without stop. Play, the words are not that important then. I know that sounds crazy. The words are only important in that they give you detail of what your character's thinking and feeling. But what you want to play is this character's thoughts and feelings, who this character is, their worldview. That's what you want to play. It's forget about enunciating the words and making that clear. Play this character.
It's acting.
It's acting.
Acting, yes. Anyway, Dave, it has been a super major league pleasure having you back on the show here and hearing your wisdom and really seeing what, you know, your view of the voiceover world. And I can't wait till you can actually come back over here.
Oh, boy.
And see how we've changed everything in here.
I know you've moved on up and doing things much slicker. And let me pat you guys on the back, because you've been doing this for years.
9 years,
actually. 9 years. And, Dan, I knew George before you. George was the go-to guy. And then you moved to town. You guys hooked up. But the service you offer and things like this, you get the best talent on talking about what they do. And it's a real benefit to a whole lot of people. So thank you for what you guys do.
We really appreciate it. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you soon. Hopefully face to face. All right. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back to wrap things up and ready to re-rack things for Tech Talk. So stay where you are. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Anthony Mendez, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Well, it's the time of the show. We get to talk about one of our longtime sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. At this point, if you're a voice actor, you've probably been asked to have Source Connect by one of your agents or just another voiceover person in the business who's heard something about Source Connect. Well, yes, it is true. Source Connect has become an extremely popular tool for remote recording voice talent anywhere in the world, from elsewhere in the world, or just down the street sometimes in this current environment we're in now, where we just can't go into studios. So you want to get on, you want to get it together, get up and going with Source Connect. But the good thing is you don't have to spend money right now. You could just go to Source Elements, set up a demo account, and get a 15-day trial. And that way you're up and running. You understand how to make the software work. You know that it works with your system. You've done all the homework and the preparation to have it running great. So when that request comes along saying, do you have Source Connect? you can honestly say yes. And at that point, activate your license. You can buy it out for a lifetime buyout. You can do a monthly subscription. And I think they're even doing like a two-day licenses at this point. So there's a lot of ways you can get Source Connect. So head over to source-elements.com, get yourself set up. If you need a little extra hand-holding, go to georgethetech.com. I have a Source Connect help section over there with a lot of helpful information, including a video that you got to watch to get yourself up to speed. Anyway, thanks, Source Elements. We appreciate it. We'll be right back to wrap this up right after this.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
Oh, I'm good. Well, we know that. Anyway, thanks again to Dave Fenoy for imparting his wisdom on us, and that was just great. George?
Yes?
Who are our donors of the week?
Oh, yes, we do have donors, don't we? Let's scroll down to the donor section. We've got a list of names you guys have probably heard before because we get a lot of regular donors to the show, which is really kind. We really do appreciate it. On the list right now I'm seeing is Harlow Rodriguez, Michael Kearns, Christy Burns, Graham Spicer, Uncle Roy's Antland Productions, Michelle Blanker, and Christopher Epperson.
Thank you so much. All right. Yeah. Hey, join our mailing list too. If you go to our homepage, join the mailing list, you can get on there. We're getting close to 700, George. Like to see that.
That's great.
Yeah. And we'll send out notices to you that, you know, who's coming on and what we're up to, and keep you informed as to what the guys are doing here.
Speaking of numbers, I just saw we ticked over the 4,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. How about that?
4,000.
Pretty awesome.
All right. So keep watching, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we need to thank our sponsors, too, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com. And
JMC Demos.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Holman. I think he was on chat room duty tonight, didn't he?
He was.
He was. All right.
He was
on it. Great job. Our technical director doing it, flying blind from her place in Burbank, Sue Merlino, and of course Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, next week we've got Tech Talk number 35, which we're about to get into, and another great guest in a coming up, it's almost July. Holy crap. All righty. Anyway, we're going to get into all sorts of cool stuff here in our next segment, so stay tuned for that. I'm Dan Leonard, and you want to know something? If it sounds good.
It is good.
And you are?
George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
We'll see you next time, guys.